now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. The U.S. economy's solid performance has caught many economists by surprise. As suggested by writer Neil Irwin not so long ago, the overwhelming consensus among economists was that a nation with an official rate of unemployment now well below 4% should be experiencing slower job growth. The logic is simple. With fewer people looking for work, fewer open positions will be filled each month, resulting in softer net new job creation. But even as unemployment has declined, monthly job growth has remained robust. The rate of unemployment recently receded to its lowest level in about 5 decades, but employers collectively managed to add another 263,000 jobs in April, according to the initial estimate. What's more, job creation estimates for prior months were revised higher. Today's reality is far different from what had been anticipated. In mid-2016, Federal Reserve officials believed that the long-run rate of unemployment would be around 4.8% and that that rate would coincide with 2% inflation. But unemployment stands at 3.6% and inflation has been meaningfully below 2%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Many believe that manufacturing is in decline in America. Indeed, conventional wisdom has long suggested that manufacturing activity would continue to migrate to other nations offering less expensive labor, whether China, Mexico, or Bangladesh. But as indicated by writer Louis Uchitel, reality is far more complex. Manufacturing output is climbing in the U.S., approaching $2.2 trillion worth last year. But while manufacturing output is rising in America, the long-term trend in manufacturing employment has been decidedly negative. From a post-World War II peak of 19.6 million workers in 1979, employment in manufacturing has declined to 12.5 million. Manufacturing has declined from 23% of the total workforce to about 8% over that period. Automation represents one explanation, but so too do the decisions of multinational corporations. Two-thirds of products and materials manufactured in America are made in factories owned by multinational companies. Multinationals often ramp up production in other nations not only to take advantage of less expensive labor, but also to be closer to emerging customer bases. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. What is your credit card balance today, and do you expect to pay off that balance in full this month? The answer to that question matters more when credit card interest rates are higher, and they are currently quite high. According to the Federal Reserve, Americans presently pay an average of 16.9% on credit card debt, the highest level ever. The recent surge in credit card interest rates does not bode well for the financial health of many consumers and could impact both consumer spending and economic growth. As many know, consumer spending comprises approximately two-thirds of economic activity in America. Given threatened trade wars, increasingly volatile financial markets, and a massive U.S. federal budget deficit, consumer activity will need to remain robust if America is to avoid its next downturn. As indicated by CNBC, the rise in consumer borrowing rates is in part due to Federal Reserve policy. America's central bank has increased short-term rates 9 times since December of 2015, helping to push other interest rates higher. The average 60-month auto loan rate now stands at 5.2%, and the average rate on a personal loan is now in excess of 10%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Babies are about the cutest thing around. So why aren't we having more of them in America? The number of babies born in the U.S. last year declined to a 32-year low. The total fertility rate, which represents an estimate of the number of babies a woman will have over her lifetime, declined to 1.7, a record low. that fertility rate has generally remained below the replacement level of 2.1 since 1971, which is why America relies so heavily upon immigration to expand its population. As indicated by writer Jeffrey Sparshot, births in the U.S. have declined during 10 of the past 11 years. This is contrary to the expectations of many demographers. Many who study population trends believed that births in the U.S. would rebound as the economy recovered from the financial crisis, but that simply has not occurred. The decline in fertility rates is widespread, including teenagers and unmarried women. Fertility rates among Hispanic women have also drifted lower. And as pointed out by the Wall Street Journal, a growing number of women are obtaining college degrees, which has also likely heavily shaped fertility rates in America. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. In part because of a long-lived decline in U.S. birth rates, the share of U.S. workers born outside of the country attained its highest level in decades last year. Foreign-born workers, those who were neither born in the U.S. nor have U.S. citizens as parents, accounted for 17.5% of all employees in 2018, according to the U.S. Labor Department. That's up from 17.1% in 2017. As indicated by writer Eric Morath, the data also indicate that foreign-born workers are increasingly educated and are more likely to be Asian. All told, there were 27.2 million U.S. workers who were born outside of the country last year, up nearly 4% from a year earlier. While growth rates in foreign-born workers vary from year to year, the trend over the past decade has been strong growth in foreign-born workers and little change in the number of native-born workers. Specifically, over the decade ending in 2018, the number of foreign-born people in the U.S. workforce rose by more than 17%, but the native-born labor force rose by less than 3%. While the median foreign-born worker earns less than the median native-born worker, earnings for foreign-born workers grew faster last year. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.